Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to Season 1, Episode 17 of Bad Voltage. Now, this is a bit of a weird episode. As some of you will have noticed, we're coming out a week early with this episode. And also, I'm the only one here. Well, kind of, but I'll get to that in a second. So what's going on? Well, as some of you will have noticed, or read, I'm leaving Canonical as the Ubuntu Community Manager, and I'm joining the XPRIZE Foundation as Senior Director of Community. Obviously, this is a job change, and this is consequently throw my schedule out of whack, and on top of that, it's throwing the Bad Voltage recording schedule out of whack. We looked at all the dates when we'll be recording, and as I'm, you know, as I get started at XPRIZE, I'll actually be working from home most of the time, but I'm going to be going there for a couple of weeks to kind of settle in, and those were weeks when we typically be recording. So we didn't want to have to screw around with rescheduling recording times and all the rest of it. So what we've decided to do is to release a show this week, and then from this week onwards, every 2 weeks, we'll have an episode of Bad Voltage coming out. Now, what was difficult is that this week, Stuart is away in some fancy tropical destination with a daughter buying horrible orange shirts. So we didn't really want to do a show without him. So what we decided to do was to just do kind of a clip show with some bits and pieces that we've thrown together out of the archives and some other little bits and pieces. So this is what it is. So it's a slightly weird kind of off-cut of Bad Voltage this week, and then in a couple of weeks when we get to the next show, you'll have a regular full-flavored edition of the show. So what's in the show? Let me explain. Well, first of all, I'm going to be cutting together some of the best bits, some of the most amusing or fun moments from a bunch of shows of past, best bits that people in the community have told us that they've enjoyed. So I'll string through some of those bits and pieces together for you to enjoy. I'm also going to talk to you about how we record the show. We get a lot of questions about how do we do the show? How did Bad Voltage come together? You know, the backstory of how the podcast came together. I'm going to share some of that. And then when I said that it's just me, kind of, I've actually asked the other guys to record their three favourite moments of Bad Voltage so far, so you can listen to that. This is assuming, of course, that Lunduke sends me his clip, which he hasn't yet. And then I'm going to talk through some of the community bits and pieces that have been going on recently. So, without further ado, in the words of Jeremy Garcia.
And now, Bad Voltage.
All right, so from time to time, people ask us how we record the show, and some people have asked us how Bad Voltage came into being as well. So I thought I'd use this segment as an opportunity to share that story with you. So first of all, how do we record the show? I'm going to delve into a bit of technical detail here for those of you who are bored enough to be interested. Lots of people have in a very complimentary fashion have shared that they think that the audio quality of Bad Voltage is good, that the survey told that as well. And it sounds like we're in the same room, whereas in reality, we're actually based all over the world. I'm based out in California, in Northern California. We've got Jeremy, who's out in Buffalo. Stuart Langridge is in Birmingham in England. And then Brian Lunduke is in Washington, D.C., I think. He seems to move around a lot. I think he might be evading the law. So basically what we do is we record every Wednesday, usually about 11 a.m. Pacific time. In the build-up to a show, we put together a Google Doc with some notes. We have a meeting every other week when we're not recording the show to talk about what we want to do in the next episode. That's where we brainstorm ideas and who we want to interview and stuff like that. I usually coordinate scheduling the interview, and then the other guys will input into the document as well once we've come up with a bunch of ideas. So we have kind of like a notes document with some research that we can do on particular topics. When we get to the recording day, what we do is we all join a hangout. Now, people have recorded hangouts in the past, but the audio quality is crap, and I've never wanted to do that. Throughout Lug Radio and Shot of Jack, I've always wanted to have a really high quality audio production. So what we do is when we go on the hangout, we basically all record our audio locally. So I think most of the guys record in Audacity on their Linux machines. I'm the sellout. I record on my Mac because I've got like a little recording studio in my house where I do my music. And that's where I edit the show as well. More about that in a second. So basically what we do is we decide we're going to do a segment. I say to everybody, start recording. Everybody starts recording. And then what I do is I count to 10. And everybody starts joining in with me to count to 10. And what that does is that gives these regular markers in the audio stream. So when I edit the show a little bit later on, I can line all the audio up. And the reason why we do that count to 10 is because there's often a little bit of jitter and lag on Google Hangouts. And that means that everything lines up nicely in the mixing phase. So we go through each of the segments. Again, every segment, we record them separately. I count to 10 at the beginning of every segment. And then all the guys put into Dropbox their individual audio clips one by one. They don't do any audio processing or anything like that. I do that on my side. So once we've done a show, I've got a Dropbox full of audio. And then I basically use Cubase 7.5 on Mac OS X to edit the show. And what I have is I have a bunch of separate tracks, which I basically line the audio up, like I said, with a counting to 10 waveforms, chop off the beginnings and the end. And then what I apply to each of the different audio tracks, I apply little effects to kind of bring out the goodness of the audio. So I apply compression to everybody. I pan everybody a little bit. So we're mostly in the center of the sound stage, but we're a little bit separated so we can get a little bit of a stereo field. But so it's not going to screw too much with mono listeners. So I apply compression and then I apply some EQ. I maximize it, I limit it. And then once I've edited all the bits and pieces together, put all the little, you know, stings in between in the segments, then what I do is I basically bounce that down to a single WAV file. And then I have a separate project where I master it. And I'll import that into that project. I have some I have a maximizer in there, a limiter. I have a little bit of compression, a little bit of a stereo widener effect as well. So this kind of, what this does is it takes all of those individual pieces that were kind of glued together in the mix and mastering it kind of glues them all together. And that's what gives you that big sound. And it also levels out like the audio bits, the music bits and the bits where we're speaking, stuff like that. So that's basically how we record the show. And then what happens is that goes over to Ack and he takes care of releasing it. He writes the release notes. He has a special script that will pull out the ID3 information from the MP3. That'll stick it into the OGG file because for some reason Cubase can't spit out OGGs with ID3 information. He has a script that automatically updates the website and automatically sets a post on the community forum. You know, one thing we learned with Lug Radio was, you know, is to really automate as much as you can. And that's been a lot of fun over the years to get those pieces together. And then, of course, you know, we announce it on our Google+, Facebook, Twitter streams, on our individual social media accounts. And hopefully people enjoy the show. So that's basically how we do it. And that's where I think there's a great opportunity for other podcasts to use a similar kind of approach. You know, we just came up with this approach and it seems to be serving us pretty well. One thing that I didn't mention is how we do interviews. When we do interviews, we typically dial people in via phone into a Google Hangout. Then what I do is I record the Hangout audio just for the interviewer, and then I'll go and add some special compression and magic to that, and then I'll go and trim out all the bits where we're speaking so you don't have any overlap. We don't really want to ask our interviewees to have to record local audio because that just complicates things. So that's how we record the show. And, you know, again, people have written in and asked, you know, how did Bad Voltage come into being? So I just wanted to give a bit of backstory in that as well. So as some of you will know, Stuart Langridge, Ack, and I, we used to do a podcast many moons ago called Lug Radio. And we're both really proud of this. We started it in 2004. We did it for about 5 or 6 years. And, you know, we had, you know, like 2 million downloads and 15, 16,000 listeners. And we had a great time doing it. And it was basically four idiots talking to a microphone. It was really kind of loose and anarchic and at times incredibly juvenile, but it was a lot of fun to do. In 2008, I moved to America and we decided to wrap the show because we didn't think we could really do it remotely, kind of like how we do it with Bad Voltage. The technology really wasn't around then for us to do that effectively. So we stopped doing the show and I moved to America. I started my new life over here. And a couple of years later, Ack and I started getting the itch to do something again. And we created a show called Shot of Jack, which was... We didn't really want to do a new version of Lug Radio because we were worried that people would think that it would be trying to redo Lug Radio. So we tried to do something completely different. And Shot of Jack was basically a 10-minute podcast where it introduced a topic. We had an initial conversation and then we encouraged people to continue the discussion on the website. And we released 2 10-minute shows a week. Now, that doesn't sound like a lot of work, but actually the production schedule was kind of grueling in terms of thinking up the topics and, you know, doing your homework and your research, and then doing the recording, and then doing the editing and release and the conversation, all the rest of it. So we did that for about a year, and then we jacked it in. A year or two passed, and again the itch came back. I remember calling Ack, and I was like, "All right, let's just stop screwing around. Let's just do Lug Radio again." And we talked about it, and as is usual, he's the voice of reason, and we decided against doing Lug Radio, but we wanted to do something similar. And the idea was to do something with the same kind of format in some ways as Lug Radio, but for it to be a little bit more, not highbrow, but just kind of less juvenile. Like Lug Radio, we used to come up with stupid ideas and do them because we thought it would be hilarious to do that in a podcast and that other people would listen to it. And we kind of got that out of our system to a degree. So we want Bad Voltage to be fun and interesting and new and different, and be as loose and as fun as Lug Radio, but to be a bit little bit more kind of intelligent in the way it's kind of put together. So that was the basic idea. Ack took a little bit of convincing once we started talking about this, but he eventually came round. And then we talked about the format. We thought four presenters is always a good thing. I'm amazed more shows don't have four presenters because you get like a real mix of personalities. So we decided to have four presenters. We wanted it to be under an hour, and we had the idea of having reviews and interviews, so it feels more like a magazine show, not just a bunch of opinion pieces. And that's one of the reasons why we put that in there, to break it up. So we started having a conversation about who the other presenters were going to be. We deliberately wanted to stay away from Lug Radio people. We didn't want to have any ex-Lug Radio presenters other than the two of us, because we didn't want to turn it into Lug Radio, and that would have happened if we would have invited Adam or Chris or Matt or Aid or the other guys along. So that was a very conscious decision, even though we would love to have done it with them. We talked about it and asked it, who do you think we should have on? And the first person that jumped to mind immediately was Jeremy. I've known Jeremy now for about 10 years. I met him at Scale in Los Angeles. We've been friends for a long time. Ack has met him a couple of times, and we just hit it off. Jeremy is incredibly smart. Is very down to earth, a broad level of knowledge, not showy in any way, and just a dependable source of ideas and input on a topic, and loads of fun to hang out with as well. So Jeremy was like a natural choice. We weren't sure if he was going to do it though, because he's a pretty busy guy. In terms of the final slot, I suggested Lunduk to Ack, because Brian and I talked a little bit on GChat. Ack didn't really know him at all. And whenever I listened to the Linux Action Show, I didn't listen to it very often, but I always thought Brian was hilarious. And I like how divisive he is. Like, some people love him and some people hate him. And that's good for a podcast. You want people to have very opinionated ideas about the presenters. I'm expecting some people are going to hate me on the show and some people are going to love me on the show. That's the way it should be. So Brian was, I think, a good choice. And Brian brings that really solid kind of like Linux passion, because we wanted the show to be not just about open source and Linux, but to be about other topics as well. So we felt like that would be a pretty good balance. Lots of open source. Everyone's birthed in open source, but eager to talk about other topics as well. So I emailed Brian and Jeremy. They were both really keen to be part of it. What we did is we had two test recordings, because we weren't sure whether this whole thing was going to work. So we did the first recording, and it was all right. It was better than I think any of us expected. We talked about wearables, I think, and I can't remember what else we talked about. It will never be released. And it was, we thought, it's worth a second try. So we did a second test episode, and it was much more together. Jeremy didn't really say very much in the first one. In the second one, he kind of came alive a little bit more. And we were really happy with the second one. And then we decided, let's do it. And as some of you will remember, when we released the show, we said, this is just an experiment. We're not sure if we're going to keep doing this. We didn't have a forum at the beginning. We put on the about page, we're trying this out, see if it's going to work. Let us know what you think. So we put the episode online, and Ack and I were particularly nervous about this, and I don't think Lundu was so much. I don't think Jeremy was so much. I mean, Brian spent a long time with the Linux Outlaws. Jeremy did a lot of work with the Linux Questions podcast, but Ack and I were nervous about people thinking this was Lug Radio again. And one could be forgiven for thinking that it's going to be another Lug Radio, and if people thought that, then they'd be A, disappointed, and B, wouldn't look at Bad Voltage for what it really is, which is its own thing. Those fears were unjustified, and the show came out and we were just all blown away by the response. We couldn't believe how positive people were about it. People enjoyed it. And it was a lot of fun to kind of see the reaction. And, you know, Ak and I, just talking about the two of us, we've been podcasting, you know, pretty much for the last, you know, 10 years, and getting back into that groove, thinking of ideas. And you know, when you do a bit in the show and it goes well and you enjoy it, there's a real buzz from that. I can't really explain it. So it was really fun to kind of get it out there, and people have been pretty receptive. We then decided to put together the, you know, the community forum, and we decided, like, we're committing to this. And that's been great to see, like, that regularity of discussion and community forming around the show as well. So that's it. You know, that's basically the story of how we make the show and how we formed it in the first place. Obviously, if you've got any questions about this, please go to community.badvoltage.org and share your questions there. We're happy to answer any questions about anything to do with the show or anything else, really. Yeah, so there you go. If any of you are still awake, that is. All right, so this is episode 17 of season one, and that would obviously lead us to believe that there have been 16 previous episodes of Bad Voltage. And it's been a lot of fun, you know, kind of, you know, growing the show and kind of getting into our own groove. We've always said, you know, the difference between episode one and episode 10 of any podcast is vast in terms of quality and experience. And I think that's happened with Bad Voltage. I'm really happy with the shows compared to how we started out. So over that time, we've had some good moments and some bad moments. And I thought it could be interesting to pull together some of the best bits of the show. So here we go. The best bits of Bad Voltage.
I just have this vision of him in the shower, you know, with shampoo in his hair, in his eyes,
and listening to One Direction.
He's huffing and puffing, is trying to get his Bluetooth speaker pairing up with his bloody phone.
No,
and his little sausage fingers trying to like press the button.
Brutal, man. Yes. Brutal.
You are a very good friend, especially Hammer, taking the piss on him when he's not even here.
Which noted AIDS denialist, Firefox boycotting, open source gun enthusiast made threats towards Bruce Perens and wrote The Cathedral and the Bazaar?
You really should have left it like the first two. I think that
best question.
That would be Sir Eric Raymond.
That's the point, because you say, what does a cloud mean? And then you come up with a definition which includes connecting to the internet, Brian's BBS, and Gopher.
Here's the thing, right? No one has those examples when they're talking about the definition of the cloud. Only you do.
Marketing departments far and wide.
Marketing departments include my BBS?
Yeah, absolutely. Your BBS, right? I said to you, Jono Bacon, define the cloud, and you come up with a definition of the cloud which includes Alexander Graham Bell. Therefore, it is not a good definition. Right?
Richard Stallman appreciates staying in houses where he gets to spend time with a particular kind of animal, but does not wish you to purchase an animal of this kind as a pleasant surprise for him. What kind of animal?
That would be a parrot.
That would
parrot. That would.
Long-term friends of this show and many previous shows, starring your humble correspondent and Jonathan Bacon, among other people there.
Humble correspondent, my foot, dude.
this is not very humble correspondent, to be clear.
Humble.
But by mark of brilliant, they support a whole load of open source stuff.
I don't know that either of those words describes you.
And the first thing you will immediately notice when you watch it is every time he asked for people to raise their hands to prove a point, he got either zero or nearly no hands at all.
Yeah, I know. I notice that every time you look for audience participation, it always backfires.
All right, moving on, since I got no hands to prove my point.
How many Star Wars movies are there?
Now, are we talking about blockbuster movies? We're talking about the main movies,
John,
right?
Just answer the question.
All right. I'm going to go with six.
Nope, the answer is three. Jono, you scored zero in that round. Jeremy, you scored one. And Brian, you scored one. So this.
I don't want to disappoint you here, pal, but you don't get sincerity points for going, This data I'm using sucks.
A service that I feel comfortable.
Do you put all of your past tax returns and everything, just put them in a box like on your doorstep or something like that? Just leave it out there so people can come through and rifle through it a little bit? Is that cool?
Don't be ridiculous. I don't do tax returns. My wife does that. She puts them on the doorstep.
Apparently, we're all doing a really good job, apart from Jono, who knows nothing about games. There's a thread on the forum called Enemy Territory, or Jono Talks Enormous Amounts of Shit, which is Jono's Battlefield 4 review, where Mr. Ben takes issue with your description of the game, your analysis of its gameplay style, your knowledge of the gaming industry, and for all I can tell, your haircut and your friends as well.
Which noted, charming, intelligent, and handsome open source figure recently won the Free Software Foundation Award for the advancement of free software?
You know, that is a good point, Jono. I mean, it's not like he's suggesting that they rewrite the display server or something crazy like that.
Baka-ow! Gee, I could really go for some kale right now. And
when he sent the email to tell us what he was reviewing, he mentioned himself in the shower minutes before I was prepared to go to dinner. So I haven't eaten since.
Come on now. It's not like people are going to go out there, take what Jono said, and edit it together so it sounds like he's Hitler or anything like that. I mean, right, guys in the community? You're totally not going to edit up Jono to make it sound like he hates gay people. Right, everyone with editing skills?
So there you have it. There's the best bits of Bad Voltage. Some of you may agree that they're pretty good, and some of you may think that they were awful, but that's the nature of the beast. So those are what we think are some of the fun moments. But, you know, each of us, since we've been doing this, each of the presenters, we've had our own favourite moments of Bad Voltage so far. So we thought, you know, for this filler clip show that we've got right here, that each of us will share our top three Bad Voltage moments. So let's kick off with Mr. Stuart Langridge.
Welcome to the first outside broadcast Bad Voltage recording from the sunny island of Fuerteventura. Apparently, I've been told that our recording schedule for this show has been somewhat screwed up. Now, I would like to blame this on my three co-presenters, so in fact I shall. Fortunately, they've all been punished enough, to be honest with you. Jeremy's been punished by being forced to look like a very short version of Tony Stark. Jono's been punished by being forced to look like the guy out of Iron Maiden who's a better guitarist than he is, and Brian's been punished by looking like an inside-out orangutan that's then been deep-fried. So, I should really talk about my favourite Bad Voltage moment. Now, the thing I enjoyed, to be honest with you, most was the quiz that we did, the Weakest Geek. I thought that was absolutely fabulous. Really enjoyed that, especially since I didn't win. But the most entertaining thing about it is it's brought into Bad Voltage the general concept that people should be punished for doing things wrong. Now, we've picked that up. We've picked up that punishment concept for things like rescheduling the show, which Captain O'Bacon is once again guilty of. I have no idea what we're going to pick for his avatar this time, but we are going to punish him fairly significantly. So, other things I really enjoyed, I like the fact that we talked about things like gun control, because I really enjoy actually having an argument with people. It would be nice if my co-presenters would occasionally put up something of a better resistance, but nonetheless, I really enjoy doing the show. So, I'd much like to stay here, talk to you some more, but looking out of the window right here, I can see a swimming pool and a sunny terrace and a pina colada with my name on it. So, this is Stuart Langridge signing off from Fuerteventura, and enjoy the rest of this best of show.
With that out of the way, now on to some of my favorite Bad Voltage moments. As with when I participated at Scale, I really enjoyed the Weakest Geek competition. My only regret with that segment is that my internet connection was extremely dodgy that day, especially during that segment, and that caused my audio to cut in and out, which unfortunately resulted in me missing a couple of quality comedic interjections that I would have liked to add. Also, I didn't even realize that I had been voted off. In retrospect, I assume that means some kind of subterfuge was involved. I also thoroughly enjoyed the trip down memory lane where we discussed how we each got involved with Linux. It was great to hear the extremely varied paths we all took that led us to the same place. The Mars One segment also sticks out in my memory for a couple of reasons. Firstly, because it was one of the funnier segments we've done to date, I think. But also because, to me, that really marks the epicenter of a couple of episodes where we think we really hit our groove and started to gel as a team.
And that brings me to my favorite part of the show, which is working with three erudite, enthusiastic, entertaining co-presenters. I learn something every show, and we've been able to discuss some highly divisive topics in a manner that was always civil, educational, and hopefully entertaining. Now, that said, my fellow presenters are not without fault. And for irrefutable evidence of that, you need look no further than this very episode. It was an alarming look into the sordid mind of one Stuart Stustuak Langridge to find out that the man they call the sausage-fingered ginger thinks looking like Tony Stark, who in his most recent incarnation is played by a strapping gentleman who's not only the exact same height as me, but is perennially considered among the best-looking chaps on the planet, as punishment. Your jealousy, sir, is transparent.
All right, so I guess it's my turn. Number one for me, definitely was, and it's not really a moment, it's more of an event, was when we put community.badvoltage.org online. So, you know, as many of you will know, I'm a bit of a community nerd. I think communities are incredibly powerful, and it's just in us as human beings to do things together. And when we decided we were going to do the show, we decided to set up a forum. You know, thank you to our friends at Microsoft for sponsoring it initially, and now our friends at A2 Hosting for hosting it right now. And we use Discourse for the forum. And when we got that up there and people started coming to the show and we had started having the regular stream of people posting to the community forum, for me, that's when Bad Voltage stopped becoming just something that we put out and started becoming something that's really a shared experience with a bunch of different people. So that was definitely number one for me. Number two, like the other guys, like the Weakest Geek was a ton of fun to do. You know, it's something that Jeremy and I love going to at scale every year in LA. So to steal the idea and bring it onto Bad Voltage was a lot of fun. Matthew Garrett was just absolutely tremendous. You know, I've known him, well, a bunch of us have known him for many, many years, and he's always a ton of fun to hang out with. We knew he'd be good value, but we didn't expect it to be as good as it was. So thank you to Matthew Garrett for his fantastic performance as Question Master. And then finally, for me, I think it's the selfie competition, our very first contest, the Bad Voltage selfie competition, was brilliant. Like, we had a bunch of different entries, and it was great to see how people approached it, and to see it approached with good humor, you know, and again, it's moments like that that I think make communities really special and fun and interesting. So I think that was probably a third one for me. And by the way, if I were to squeeze a fourth one in, I probably shouldn't do this because I said to the other guys, pick three. The whole discussion on the forum about gun control, I think, is incredible. Like, to have such a complex discussion around such a sensitive topic, I think says a lot about our community and says a lot about the show. And I think it's been really fun to attack those complex issues in a community that is known for, you know, for taking on complex issues. The open source world is well known for discussing complex topics in a very detailed manner, sometimes, unfortunately, to a significant degree of flaming. But I'm really proud of how that's been handled. So, the last person, of course, is Brian Lunduk, and he was unable to send his top three Bad Voltage moments due to some kind of technical issues, which, of course, is a weak and feeble excuse due to his previous instances of failing to make a show in Bad Voltage. So what I'd like to recommend all of you folks do is go to community.badvoltage.org and share the top three reasons why you think Brian sucked on the show. What are his worst moments? I think it would make for some pretty interesting reading. So, no episode of Bad Voltage would be complete without our focus on what's going on in the community. Community.badvoltage.org is where all the action is happening. Be sure to go and check that out. It's a great place to meet other Bad Voltage listeners and to get involved in some pretty fun and entertaining discussions. There's also badvoltage.org/IRC, where you can join the IRC channel, which has always got a regular stream of people in there. But yeah, we've got a really nice community forming around the show, so come and be a part of it. So what's been happening? Well, the first one I think to mention is the Bad Voltage magazine. This was an idea that was thrown up a little while back, and eHawk61 on the forum has been driving this. The idea is to basically pull together content and commentary from our community into a magazine that people can use. The GitHub repository has been set up. People are writing some articles for it. So it's a really great way of participating in the show. You know, we really want our community to feel like they can contribute in lots of different ways to Bad Voltage. You know, again, we want to build something of a shared kind of community here where, you know, yeah, we produce a podcast, but if people want to make magazines or people are making apps, people have made apps for Ubuntu and for, you know, Sailfish and Android and iOS and things like that, this is a great way of contributing. The other thing as well is that we had a discussion in the last show about the notion of the GPL and whether it's still relevant. And we started bouncing around the stupid idea of the GPLX, the GPLX stream. And we asked the community for some input on elements of the GPLX stream that could be fun or amusing. So example, we had Rhinoceraptor said, you will not be able to compile, run or link any GPLX code on any computer with any proprietary software, firmware or hardware. Any software residing on or near a computer running GPLX code will be automatically and irrevocably relicensed under the GPLX. Rather amusingly as well, Rhinoceraptor also added, you will boycott the Coca-Cola company. Love that. Mark X. Johnson, all source code licensed under the GPLX must be edited with the GPLX licensed version of GNU Emacs. All non-software works used, distributed, or created with GPLX software must be licensed under the CCSAX. Like that. So you get the meme going. Nero, of course, chipped in with all GPLX programs must have their name prefix with GNU, and all authors and users of GPLX programs must have a beard. Love that. Also, use of the Dvorak input devices is preferred during the development of and use of GPLX software, but is not required. Some flexibility in the GPLX there. Bitpuffin added a few things here, like all clothing worn when developing, using or auditing the software source must be 100% environmentally friendly materials. All food consumed when developing, using or auditing the software must be 100% vegan friendly. I like how this spreads beyond. All shits taken during breaks from developing, using or auditing the software must be wiped using a water nozzle or not at all to save the trees. So yes, we do enjoy some of these contributions. Mikatron 13 also added, all offspring of the developer born after the adoption of the GPLX must have their tax details made freely available. I'm pretty sure that was a dig at me for talking about Dropbox. So that was a lot of fun as well to see those contributions there. And then I just wanted to mention that I mentioned this earlier on, but the gun control topic has been rumbling on in the Bad Voltage forum across a few different topics. Most recently, the guns with fingerprint recognition topic, where there's 40 posts already as the time I'm recording this. And again, the discussion has been very pointed in sense of detail, but it's been very respectful, very dignified. And I think it's a real credit to our community that a very sensitive topic can be discussed in that way. So lots of great stuff going on in the community. As ever, keep an eye on what's going on community.badvoltage.org. Be sure to follow us on twitter.com/badvoltage and facebook.com/badvoltageshow. There's also a Google Plus page, but they have weird and complicated URLs. So yeah, come and join us. Be part of it. All right, so there we have it. This is, admittedly, a bit of a weird show. And, you know, as I mentioned in the intro, you know, we just kind of want to adjust ourselves and get us onto a slightly different schedule. Still every 2 weeks, but because of my transition to XPRIZE, I just want to say a big thank you to all of you for being understanding about this. I know this is not your usual Bad Voltage episode, but I'm sure you will appreciate us at least putting something out there, if not a typical show. And then in 2 weeks, we'll be back onto a normal show. I also want to say a big thank you to my co-presenters for being so understanding through this transition. I just want to make it very clear as well, me working at XPRIZE is going to have no impact on Bad Voltage in terms of the show. Still going to be doing it, still going to be talking about open source. And I'm sure that we'll talk about some things that relate to solving the grand challenges of the world with XPRIZE, which may siphon into the show every so often. So anyway, without further ado, thanks again, and I look forward to seeing you on next episode of Bad Voltage.